Hi, this is Norm Augustinus. I'm sorry I missed your call. After tone, leave your name and number. I'll get back to you.
Hi, Norm. I hope you get this message. Norm, I want to tell you a story. When I was a teenager, my parents sent me to a week-long summer camp located just outside Cadillac, Michigan. The camp was just for girls. On the first day of camp, all the girls were instructed on how best to operate a tiny wooden boat. The boat had a small 2-horsepower outboard engine that got clamped onto the transom of the boat. The transom is located at the back of the boat. Like most summer camps, the camp had its own lake located on its premises. All the girls were individually tested on what they had learned during the boat training course. Norm, on the day of my boat operation test, I got into the boat, and I rowed the boat out into the lake. Once I was in position, I pulled the rowing oars out of the water, and I placed the oars inside the boat. One of the camp counselors standing on the beach yelled something into a handheld battery-powered megaphone. The counselor told me to start the outboard engine.
Start the boat motor!
Norm, the occupant of the boat, steered the boat by clutching onto a long arm that protruded from the front of the engine. This long arm is called a tiller. At the end of the tiller closest to the operator is the throttle. The tiller and throttle are one. The person in command of the boat sat on a built-in seat near the outboard engine, and they looked to the front of the boat as they moved the tiller in the direction that they want the boat to go. If you want to adjust your speed, the operator just had to rotate the throttle handle built into the end of the tiller handle. Norm, when I clutched onto the outboard engine throttle handle, I noticed it felt different than it did during our training session. The boat motor tiller and throttle was oddly soft, but it was hard too. Also, the motor tiller seemed bigger. Much bigger, actually. The tiller was enormous. I guesstimated that the tiller was 12 to 14 inches long, and perhaps 2.5 inches in diameter. When I clutched onto the outboard engine tiller, I was unable to remove my hand. As I tried to jerk my hand free, white paint wiped off the outboard engine tiller, revealing a pink undercoat. Norm, I tried to yank my hand free from the outboard motor engine tiller. As I pulled my hand back and forth, I heard a man moan aloud. But how? Why? I was really scared. People standing near the edge of the lake were running about and yelling at me. What in the hell was going on here? And then in an instant, I realized something. I wasn't holding onto an outboard engine steering tiller. I was clutching onto a giant blood-engorged cock. By trying to free my hand, I was in actuality whacking some guy off. I tugged wildly at my hand again and again in an effort to free it, until eventually I heard a man yell aloud. The man said,
"I'm coming, slut."
Norm, I beat a complete stranger off on my boat operational skills test day. At least 2 or 3 fistfuls of hot bubbling cum shot out of the head of his cock, and the jism went into my hair, eyes, nose holes, ears, and mouth. And that's when I blacked out. When I regained consciousness, a police officer said a man had duct taped himself upside down to the back of the boat. According to the officer, the man had covered his schlong with super glue, making it impossible for me to free my hand from his prick. The officer said,
"Unfortunately, your cum-covered hand was super glued to his cock. It appears you made the best of your situation. There was no way out of it. Good for you on beating him off."
The man's head to his waist were completely underwater. Just his legs were visible. His rock-hard cock was aimed out from his body like a boat motor tiller. The lower sections of his legs from his knees to his feet were bent back and duct taped tightly to his upper thighs. When casually looked at, all you could see were the man's thighs and his colossal peter. Norm, somehow, this person was able to paint himself white and place brand name official looking stickers all over his body so that his body resembled a realistic looking Evinrude 2-horsepower outboard boat motor. While I pumped him off, this fucker wore a diving mask and breathed with a snorkel. Norm, honest to God, this freak rigged his body to look exactly like an outboard engine boat motor. According to the authorities, the dude was able to swim away while still reeling in the afterglow of orgasm. I tried to start him in an effort to impress my camp counselors, but it is impossible to start a human being the same way you start an outboard boat motor. It took the camp counselors 2 hours to vacuum the cum out of each of my nostril holes. It was an awful moment, and I have carpal tunnel syndrome now because of it. When my mother picked me up from the hospital, she said, only you could find a dick to beat off while your boat testing skills are being evaluated by camp counselors. You disgust me. All my friends watched you beat that meat while they were watching from the shore. Your dad was viewing your actions through high-powered binoculars. Your father started vomiting when he saw you pump that dick off while you were sitting in that boat. When you get home, head straight for the upstairs bathroom. I want you to irrigate the shit out of your cunt with the genuine rubber douchebag that your grandmother gave you on your birthday. When you're done blowing out your cunt, go straight to bed. You're grounded.
Norm, I am telling you this ghastly story in an attempt to help your female listeners. Girls, if you're ever about to start an outboard motor for a fun day of boating, be mindful that you're actually clutching onto a real outboard boat motor tiller and not a monstrous, cunt buster, rock hard cock. The boat motor tiller could wind up being a Godzilla-sized painted cock, / boat tiller. It was for me. Now I must go. Norm, I call all the time, but you never phone me back. What gives? Can you please excuse me? I want to vape while I move my pointer finger and middle finger in circular motions atop my blood-engorged, hungry, swollen clitoris while lying atop my cum-stained mattress. Bye.
End of messages.
He wishes he could have killed his grandmother. His mother says everything he touches turns to shit. He's been to jail, spent 24 hours in a mental institution, and unsuccessfully tried to kill himself 3 times. And now, live via the internet, Norm Augustinus.
As you may or may not know, Amazon Prime drivers, the chicks I'm talking about, not the fruits that drive the trucks, I'm talking about women here. The chicks that drive the trucks are so horny, you can't believe it. And you know why. You're saying, why are they horny? They're horny because they're in seats with heavy-duty springs, and they're bouncing up and down in that truck. And then all those boxes back there make her think box. That's all she's doing. Box, box, box. I got to pick a box. I got to pick up the box. There's a box back there. Box on the second shelf. Box on the third shelf. All that's in her mind is the idea of boxes. And that's her cunt. They refer to their cunt as a box. And she's in the Amazon Prime driver's truck driving around with boxes with her box bouncing up and down. And they are horny. I'm not kidding you. That's how horny they are. They're especially horny way up here. I live in upper northern Michigan in the middle of nowhere. They're very horny. And why are they very horny up here? Because it's dirt road after dirt road after dirt road, rural roads, and they don't see anybody. They get extremely horny and parched. Their windows open. There's all kinds of dust coming in the window. They're breathing in the dust. They're looking at the dust. They're looking out in the woods. They see nothing but vertical shit, and that's trees. Verticals up and down, horizontals left and right. They see trees. They think of dick. They look in the back of their truck. They see boxes. They think of their pussy. They think of dick and pussy while they're driving around in their Amazon Prime driver's truck. As I've said to you before, the word rim me is in the word prime. Prime's on the side of the truck with Amazon. Look at it. R-I-M-E. Prime. Prime. Rim. It's rim me. And when they think that, they think, wow, I'd like to be rimmed right now. I'd like something rimming my anus right now. Why? I don't know. I'd like somebody to be rimming my cunt right now. The area where there's 3 fucking holes. There's the clitoris. There's their urethra. There's her fucking cunt, and just below that's her shithole. Now, why would anybody in their right fucking mind want to get near a woman? I don't know. Think of that. All those holes and shit down there. And everybody says the cliche thing. Must smell pretty bad down there. Yeah, it does. But how could it be anything else but smell like that? And you want, when you're running towards it in slow motion, you're running to it really fast like fucking Steve Austin, 60 miles an hour or some shit, running to pussy. Look at you go, little boy. I'd like to fucking, if I had to fucking knew where you lived, I'd ring your doorbell and I'd bring my detective fan and I would bang you out from the rear, fruit. That's why they're driving around in these trucks to deliver boxes and they're horny, bouncing up and down, up and down. Okay, yeah, their catalytic converter may be working right. Probably not. There's all kinds of carbon monoxide backing up and going to the truck, isn't there? They're getting fucking wasted. They're getting high. They're getting sick. All kinds of biological things are happening in their brain because there's all kinds of monoxide in their bloodstream driving around trying to get some bitch a fucking dildo. And that's what they're doing. I mean, think of that. You're a chick. You're at home waiting for your dildo. A chick's going to deliver your dildo. Here's your dildo. Some chink made it in a factory. Here's your dildo. Your dildo's at your door now. Why am I talking about an Amazon Prime driver? A chick driver? Because something just happened to me, and then I want to move on and tell you what I do. I do this thing every year. This thing I'm going to tell you. Why am I telling you about this? Because I just banged on an Amazon Prime truck driver female at my house up here in Upper Northern Michigan. 100 acres on just abutting to state land, protected state land. And she was over. She comes over to bang your correspondent out. Why? Because I got 15.5 pounds of fucking meat dangling from my fucking pants, a dangling dong. And why does she come for that? Because they got to put their pussy into action. They got to engage their pussy. They have fucking needs. This is what my psychiatrist, this chick told me, her name was Mary, years ago. She said, people have needs, Norman. And when she said it, I popped a boner because I knew she wanted me. People have needs, Norman. That's how she said it. Norman, people have needs. That's how she said it. She had needs. Need for 15.5 pounds in my fucking pants, my dangling dong. My fucking Abraham Lincoln log splitter. That's what I call my dick. Abe could split a log in one goddamn thump with an axe. That's the same thing I do to a chick's cunt. I split her goddamn seam with my 15.5 pound Abraham Lincoln log splitter in my fucking pants. Recently had a chick over. She came over. Prime drivers like to come over. I told you that Prime trucks, they have this thing. If their tire goes flat, it notifies the main office. There's this, what do they call it? The inflation system, MS, some system, inflation system that notifies their main office, their dispatcher, that their truck is offline. So they have about 45 minutes to try to get it back online so they can go offline. They're officially offline, but they're still logged in. They're still making pay. What do they call that system? TPMS, tire pressure. Something like that, tire, TPMS, or something like that, TPMS, something, look it up, stupid, why am I struggling here? They have this thing that it gets back to the dispatcher and says they're offline. Now the chick comes out here, and we let air out of her tire. And when she gets here, her fucking seam is soaking wet. Soaking wet, her cunt lips are flapping, her asshole's looking for dick. It's all on, man, eyes are dilated, they're not even checked in anymore. She comes over and I banged her out all night with 15.5 pounds. And as you know, when I bang anybody out, they can't walk. It sounds like a joke, but it's true. They can't walk. They have trouble walking. They have trouble balancing themselves. They're walking bull-legged like they've been on a fucking mule, a donkey, for a long time, an extended period. Look at her. She must have been on a donkey. Don't you see that when you see people walking like that? Look at that person. They must have been on a donkey. And I banged her out that long with my huge fucking impalement pipe. And that's what it is. And that's what's happening. They're getting impaled. And they dream of getting impaled. They dream of that with some ridiculous dosage of romance included into it. I banged her out all night long. And that's what they want. They want to be banged out all fucking night long. Don't you hear it? Listen to the songs. All night long. They want us all night long, except it doesn't work out. In 3 fucking minutes, you blow your load, your big fucking load blown out. Looks like a platypus's tail. Your load has hit this big area and it's dripping down. Look at it. There's your load.
banged her all night. We did all kinds of stuff. We smoked Pinconning Paralyzer. We did all kinds of shit. We did some speed. We did some fucking blotter acid. I did all kinds of stuff. Then we banged out all the holes. And every morning I have the same problem. I do the same thing and I think, why? Why did I do that? That's weird, man. That's animal. It's weird. Why'd I do that? As I'm walking around with an air freshener, a can of fucking Glade spring morning fucking air freshener. Anyway, she had to go back to the work, but she couldn't walk. So while they're towing their truck out of the Amazon, out of my driveway, the Amazon Prime delivery truck, they don't actually work for Amazon. They work for some private company. That way Amazon can distance themselves from the drivers and the trucks and all kinds of unionization and all that shit. But when the truck came to tow the truck, the tow truck came to tow her Prime driver truck, at the same fucking time, the ambulance was carrying her out in a gurney. She said to the dispatcher that the tire went flat and she lost control of the truck. It somehow had a big drop in a hole and had a jerking motion, and she threw her neck and lower back out. That's what she told them. That's not the truth. While the Prime truck was leaving my yard, getting towed out by a big semi-truck, tow truck, she was being put in a fucking ambulance and carried out because I popped her fucking pussy again and again and again. And so why not? I told a chick this once a long time ago. I worked at a newspaper, and she was a proofreader in the newspaper. I don't know, an editorial department somewhere, was in a basement somewhere downstairs. And she said to me this once. I always asked her to go out. She said, "You just want to have sex with me." And I have to tell you, she's the sweetest thing, man. Sweet, naive, honest, innocent, and all that stuff. "You just want to have sex with me." And I said to her later in a phone call, I said, "What else is there? What else do you do with a woman? I don't really know, man. Walk around fucking Target and buy a soap dish? Walk around fucking Target and buy some goddamn bath balls? What do you fucking do? What else do you do with a woman that would ever engage you mentally? That's it. What else do you do?" She said, "You just want to have sex with me." You know, when I told her that, that sunk in. Because a couple of years later, she called me up and said, "Hey, you want to go out?" That meant that sunk in. She finally saw that. Age combined with wisdom equals fucking pussy. Always. Every time. Age and pussy. What's that fucking formula I used to have? I used to have a fucking formula. I don't know if I can even remember the formula anymore, but I had a formula that I used to talk about. Hope plus doubt equals desire. You ever want to get a chick, that's it. You got to think it over now. Hope plus doubt equals desire. You're fucking got some chick and she might have got her interested, and she sort of hopes it. But she also doubts it. "I'm never going to get with Norm Augustina. She's great. The fucking guy's world renowned. He's known all over the world. He's got all kinds of fans. I'm never going to get Norm Augustina's." And that's her hope. And that's the doubt at the same time. Now that equals what? That equals desire. And that is the way you get a bitch. It's that simple, man. Unless you pick one up hitchhiking like I've done many, many times up here in upper northern Michigan. When they hitch up hike up here, they know what they're doing. They're wearing short jean shorts. They're wearing a halter top. They know what they're doing. They want to get dick. They want to get picked up. You might have air conditioning or air conditioning. I saw it spelled that way one day somewhere. I don't remember where. They want dick. They're hitchhiking. Dick and travel and rolling wheels and going somewhere west and north or something. It all is romance to chicks, and you have to understand that if you want to get one. So at the same time they were towing out the Amazon Prime truck driver, the Amazon Prime truck, it's got something they call a 460 liquimotion engine. I don't know what it means, but that's what it is, a liquimotion engine, a 460. And it's not really a V8 and it's not really a V6. It's more like a straight six, but it's not a straight six. Each piston is like the diameter of two pistons. It's for power and torque and all kinds of stuff like that for heavy fucking loads. While they're towing that engine, that truck out, she's getting put into an ambulance. And I know her problem. She knows her problem too. She took the dick all night long from Norm Augustinus. And it's not a joke. It's absolutely 100% true. If you had a sister and you sent her up here, I would send your sister back to your fucking house in a box. That's not a shit. In a goddamn body bag, she might still be alive, but she'll be in a body bag coming back to your house after I banged her out all night long with my Abraham Lincoln log splitter. What happened to you, Sue? Whatever her fucking name is. I hate to say Sue. I don't like to say Sue. Sounds like a name I heard when I was in Vietnam. I was there 18 months, two tours. And every fucking chick I banged out there was named Sue. Every one of them. Even when they dropped me from the fucking Huey helicopter, they dropped me into a rice paddy. I jumped into the water. I'd come out. My dick was out. And I was running after all these fucking VC chicks. Half of them were called Sue. And I'm coming at them. Here comes Mundunka. Mundunka was a fucking nickname they gave me when I was in Vietnam. They dropped me in a helicopter. And it was like a tidal wave of chicks running from my goddamn cock. What are you running for? What are you running? I just want to give you pleasure. Mundunka's here. What are you running for? Where you going, man? Man, where's the fucking party, man? I got some fucking weed. I got Mundunka's come onto the scene. I got the weed. I got the balls. I got the cum. Let's get it on. Let's get it on. If you don't want to get it on, I got something here right next to you strapped to my fucking belt with a lot of bullets. Either fuck or die. That's what I used to say when I was there. I'd scream it and they'd turn right around and start running towards me. It was like I was Elvis fucking Presley, man. Fuck or die. And I'd see him taking my, unholstering my gun, my issue gun for, at that time. So they were taking her out in the driveway. And she was going because I humped her out so bad. She said, I can't walk. I've had that happen again and again. A chick will get out of my bed and they've got this smile on her face. It looks like a Mona Lisa. It's kind of like a half crooked smile as they're laying in my bed. And as they get out of the goddamn bed and try to get on, the legs don't respond and they hit the fucking floor. What's the matter? I always pretend to be interested. What's the matter with you? What happened? Something wrong? You got MS? What do you have? You must have MS. You got Lyme disease? They all got Lyme disease, MS, and anxiety problems. You always remember that. Any kind of undiagnosed thing that nobody really recognizes, they have and they try to invent. You got MS? Your MS acting up? What's going on? You Lou Gehrig's disease? You got Lyme disease? They all got Lyme disease. How do you verify Lyme disease? And if you got Lyme disease, were you in a fucking jungle? Were you in a goddamn woods? That's where fucking these bugs are. Where they are. There's where the deer are. There ain't no deer there. There's no deer where you're at. You ain't got Lyme disease. You got fucking lonely dick disease. You need something in your esophagus and you need something in your pocket down your, by your legs when they're spread open. This fucking three holes. When I first learned that a woman had three holes in her crotch. I don't know what age it was. It was spooky to me. They got the clit at the top. That's a clitoris. That's a C. Below the clit, they got what? The urethra. That's the piss hole. That's a U. C-U. Then they got the fucking vagina that takes dick, has all kinds of expulsions, yeast infections, takes dick, lubricates. That's the vagina. That's C-U-V. And then they got their anus. That's Kava. Kava is what you're going for. It sounds sick, doesn't it? Hey, what are you doing today? I'm going to fool around with some Kava. Ain't that disgusting? I'm going to get some Kava. Where do you get some Kava? That's clitoris. Kava? That's your urethra. That's the clitoris, the urethra, and the vagina. That's C-A-V, and then the anus. That's A. It's Kava, man. Hey, man, go get some fucking Kava. It's all yours, man. Go get it. Take a good look at her fucking face now. Take a good look at her figure now, because in 15 to 20 years, or even go later, go more extreme, you're going to be looking at something that looked like it crawled out of a goddamn cave and never saw the light of sun. Look at that. How could that dream you had turn into that? Think of that, man. Just keep on running, man. Just keep on moving. Keep on running north, south, east, and west. Keep on moving. Keep ahead of that fucking old, and you'll be okay. Because of who I am, I get prime bitches all the time. The number one bitch I get constantly is a size 3 or 5. She's an actual redhead. She's got pale skin, all kinds of freckles, and I take them down. Up here, we had all kinds of Irish people coming here when they were immigrating here for Henry Ford's fucking all-day workday, 8 hours a day, plus breaks and a lunch, and unheard of pay. They were all coming here, man. Thank you. Thanks, Henry. I keep getting pussy on top of pussy on top of pussy. It never ends. Seam atop seam atop seam atop seam. If you could sew all the seams together from pitches, crotches that I've had, it would go around the world 5 or 6 times like a goddamn zipper that's encasing the earth. Big fucking zipper. That's what a cunt is. A big zipper, and you got to unzip it and get in there. So I want to talk about something. I don't know why I went on that. I didn't want to talk about that. didn't really have any interest in that. So every year, as you may or may not know, fuckstick, I send up hundreds of balloons, helium balloons. And why do I do that? Why am I sending up helium balloons? Is it for a nonprofit thing for retards? No, it's not. Why am I sending up helium balloons? Is it something to do with saving the world, saving the fucking ozone layer? No, it's none of that, nothing like that either. Is it something about Mexicans or Iraqis or is no, it's not anything about that either. I send up hundreds of balloons. Mine's non-political every time. I send up hundreds of balloons every year because it benefits me and it benefits women all over the world. And you're going to say, how does it benefit women all over the world, Norm? It benefits women all over the world because they want me and they probably don't want you. And why don't they want you? Look at you, man. Bald head, looks like a fucking donkey, kicked his horseshoe into the front of your head, it's all horseshoe baldness. Look at you, head like a basketball. They don't want that. They want glamour. They want romance. They want excitement. They want to be attached to that, like a fucking glow bug, lightning bug, or a bug at night that's by a porch light at night. He wants to be near the heat because that's where he can be seen to mate with other bugs. He's there for that reason. That's what chicks want. They want to be around your correspondent. Why is that? Because chicks think I'm sexy. They want to hump me. They want to blow me. They don't want to hump you. They don't think you're sexy. They don't want to hump you, blow you, nothing. Why? Because you're ugly. Why? They want me because I'm attractive and they want to be around attractive as much as they can because they know their face is melting the fuck away. And if they can be around you, they can suck that essence out of you like the salt monster in a Star Trek series, one of the Star Trek shows, Star Trek. And they can suck your essence out. They can suck your life force out. And that's basically what a bitch does. And why do they get mad when you fucking suddenly ghost them, when you disappear? Because they were in the process of sucking your essence dry. They were using you like a vampire. And you interrupted that, and they're really pissed off. I always get out of there, man. Before they even said ghosting or any of that shit like that, ghosting or zombieing or anything like that they used to say, I was fucking gone on top of gone times the pi power of 10 or something like that. I've always been gone. What happened to Norm? We don't know. He's gone. What happened? He got a little too close. It felt like too much reality. He went into the bathroom after you were in there. He went into the bathroom. He saw fucking 12 fucking tampons lined up on top of the toilet tank like shotgun cartridges in these perfect lines on top of your toilet tank. And she doesn't even live there. He didn't want that. He didn't want that either. I didn't want that. So every year, I send up these balloons. Hundreds of balloons. This year was a record-breaking launch. I must have sent up, honest to God, 270, 300 balloons at least. I sent up so many balloons that the helium tank that I purchased, you don't actually purchase it. You have to rent the tank. They deliver the tank and they sell you the gas at a gas company. I used to buy much less helium. You could go to Walmart and buy party time helium. You could fill 6 balloons up for your retard. A bunch of dirty crotch kids running around acting fun. Where's my pinata? Where's my pinata? They invaded us with that fucking pinata. That was the start of this shit. Get the pinata in there. Get kids seeing a pinata. See them breaking the pinata up. Get them the fuck in there. They'll embrace Mexicali. They'll embrace that, all that whole fucking thing. That when all kinds of bean eaters are standing next to me. Yay, yay. Andale, andale. Como esta? That's what they did with the thing. Party time helium. It started all that shit in birthday parties. I used to buy party time helium all the time at Walmart, but I didn't do that anymore. Now I have the tank delivered from a gas company, not a natural gas company or house company. They sell all kinds of gases to customers, like nitrous oxide and all that other shit that people would use for gas. I get the gas, the helium, delivered to my house in a big tank. It's a 60-pound tank. It stands about 5 foot high. It's got a metal thing you have to unscrew from the top. You got to put the fucking valve on with a meter gauge on it and the hose on it and all that. And I buy this tank and have it delivered because I send up this year a record amount of balloons. Why would I send up balloons? What's the point of it? What's the message on it? There is no message. There is no fucking point. Stop looking so goddamn deep. There just is. There was. There is. There's tomorrow. There's nothing fucking more, man. I know this for sure. I'm telling you the truth, man. I spent 18 months in Vietnam in a fucking H-1 helicopter. I was a door gunner, and I'm telling you, there isn't nothing more, man. They used to call me, honest to God, they used to call me fucking, what's that glue called? In that instant glue? What's that fucking stuff called? They used to call that glue. When you put it on, something glue. I can't remember the goddamn name of it. This glue you'd put, instant paper glue, instant fucking glue, chemical glue. I don't know what the fuck, it's clear, man. It's a little bottle. They used to call me that because my finger would never came off the trigger when they were flying around this helicopter around 250 feet off the ground. I just kept the fucking trigger in. And I have to tell you, sometimes I did start to laugh. I don't know why. Sometimes I started to laugh. Now, how can there be, I guess in the worst thing, worst play, worst farce, or whatever they call them, people can laugh at the darkest points. These fucking glue with this gun and this fucking 600 rounds a goddamn minute was incredible. So, I sent up these balloons in a celebration of life. In a celebration of Norm Augustinus' life, the fact that I'm here and I want to share the essence of what I am all over the world to of why I'm here. What do they call that damn glue? You know the glue, man. Little tiny tubes. What's it called? Fucking, why wouldn't I know that? Everybody knows that fucking glue. I hope I don't have dementia. Pre-early dementia, pre-stages. This is what the fucking media likes to tell everybody they have. And that way, they're above you. They've got this losing their fucking mind. Their socks ain't right. Their ankles are swollen. There's something not going on right there. So, I sent up these balloons. Now, how do I prepare for the balloons? I tell this every year because everywhere year I do it, it's so much goddamn fun. I'm out in the backyard. There's my ultralight aircraft on the runway that I keep really manicured. There's my ATV. It's the six wheels. It's over on the right. There's my fucking thing on the left. It's a self-burying system that I created. Honest to God, you can get in the hole. And when you're in the hole in the ground, you can pull this little rope. And the entire thing, 6 yards of topsoil, falls into the hole. Not just the topsoil, but the mechanism, the rope, everything. It just falls in the goddamn hole. Now, mixed with the dirt, the 6 yards of dirt that fills in the hole, it's got grass seed. So when I'm ready to go, man, I'm going to get in the fucking hole that I dug, my self-burying system. I'm going to dig it. I'm going to have, I mean, it's already created. I'm going to get inside it, pull the cord, and all the shit's going to fall in. You're never going to know where I went, how I died. Where is he? Nobody's heard from him ever. His site's fucking gone, and of course it would be gone. Why would it be gone? Because not one motherfucker paid for any of the server use. It's like I'm talking to myself, man. Nobody paid for that. Where is he? Where did he go? And that's my self-burying system. I love it. Every part, everything goes in, so they don't know what happened to you. Where'd he go? Then they find me. They say, wow, look at this depression here. Let's dig it up. He had a self-burying system in his backyard next to his ultralight alongside his ATV. He had that in his backyard, man. Next to the still he uses to buy, make occasional booze. He's tried to make booze. I've tried that myself. A form of Pruno. I've tried to make 150, 175 proof alcohol myself. And it's just not worth it. Go to the goddamn store. I got my fucking Pinconning paralyzer, fucking 97% THC. It's just not worth to make your own booze anymore. So, what is the purpose of the balloons? Why do I send it up? Now, here's why. The previous year, all the way back to when I just released the balloons, I keep all my cum. When I say keep all my cum, it's like a Howard Hughes thing. Howard Hughes used to piss in the big bottles and save the bottles, 6 or 7. And in reality, actually, I knew somebody who did that. And he was elderly and he was in bed and his piss would be in all these big jars. And he actually did that. So I know this is true when I read this about Howard Hughes. And I save all my cum. And when I say I save all my cum is when I'm packing it, when I'm fucking pumping it, my prick. Now, if you want, I can send you a picture of me. An 8x10 is just as I'm coming. If you want something like that, if you're a chicken, you want something like that, you'll have to contribute to the recording to get that picture as I'm actually coming. It's really spooky. It's partial rolled back eyes. One eyelid's closed. The other eyelid is half open. It looks like I've had a stroke. My mouth is on an angle as I'm coming. Now, if I can do that on myself alone, imagine, bitch, if you were with me, what you would see. It would be hell. It would be spooky. It'd be something from the other world. It'd be something from the core of the earth, wherever the devil resides. It'd be something like that, wouldn't it? And you can have that. So I save my cum up. And my cum is saved in these little fucking little cups or Dixie cups. You don't know what a Dixie cup is? You can buy them at Walmart or maybe Target. You can buy them someplace like that. You can buy Dixie dollar stores near you. If you live near a dollar store, you probably live in a dumpy area. That's where they usually go. They put dollar stores up or Dollar General, something like that. It's a burned out community, something like you live in. And I get these Dixie cups and I blow my load into them. And then I put the Dixie cup in a container that I have that's in this little refrigerator. And the refrigerator is filled with dry ice. You can buy dry ice at Walmart or I think also at Meyer's Thrifty Acres. I think that's a Michigan store. You can buy it there. And it's a big refrigerator. And I use the dry ice. And it's also plugged in to keep my cum frozen 37 degrees below zero as I put my cum in there. Now, my cum goes in these Dixie cups. They're wax-covered cardboard cups, and I blow my load into it. Now, you have to understand the concentration you have to have. I mean, 15.5 pounds of meat. I've been whacking it for fucking years since I was 8 years old, and I have a tremendous cum-making machine. And when I blow this cum into there, it's hard to aim it because of the amount of load that comes out. I mean, the more you use the gun in your pants, the more you use it, the more cum you make. It becomes a bigger and bigger cum maker because it has to keep up with the demand. So the supply has to be increased. Increase the supply, increase the demand, increase the supply. Supply, demand, supply, demand. You have to increase that shit. And that's what I do. So the cum goes in these Dixie cups and I drop it into the refrigerator that I bought especially that is chock full of fucking dry ice that I bought at Meyer's Thrifty Acres. Dry ice is like, it's like ice, but it's not ice. It's much colder than ice. If you pour warm water on it, it'll create a thick white fog, like a Hollywood effect. But it really works good at keeping things frozen, like minus 37 degrees. And I have a temperature gauge on it to show me that it's minus 37 degrees. So in addition to me sharing my cum year-round with whatever bitch I can find, whatever bitch knocks on my door, whatever bitch I come across, and whatever it is I'm doing, I also have to save up some of my cum to pump into these Dixie cups. The Dixie cups are all lined up. They're all dated in my refrigerator. And on top of the Dixie cup, I put a piece of saran wrap and a green rubber band. Don't ask me why I started. I've done this for years, why I use a green rubber band. But I do use green rubber bands. And there's saran wrap in the Dixie cup. This year, I had hundreds of cups of cum. And not one time did I encounter a problem as my orgasm machine was working, as my orgasm maker thingy was working. Not one time did I have a problem or a pain with regards to my cock. There's all kinds of parts there. There's all kinds of cum-making things, your balls. My cum came out clean. There was no pain. It was pure enjoyment, pure orgasm, pure fucking stream thoughts, all coming out as I was coming. Every one of those are blessed with a happy orgasm, with good functioning organs, and that karma goes into the cup. It's incredible. And while it's in the cup, it's in the refrigerator that's being kept 37 degrees. And why am I in that? Because why am I doing that? Because I want to send up the freshest cum I can. And how do I send up the freshest cum I can? Well, I attach it to rubber helium balloons. Hundreds of them. I buy the helium balloons. I used to buy them from Temu. I don't buy them from there anymore. Somebody told me that chinks handle all the products of Temu, and a third of the chinks have herpes. Honest to God, they have herpes or they have toenail fungus, and they're packing your goods in packages and sending them back to America. Now, you're touching that thing. The person had fucking toenail fungus. They have herpes. They have cold sores around their goddamn mouths. Maybe they were scratching their anus. Maybe they just ate the fucking head of a bird off or chewed up a beak. That's the shit they eat. And now they're touching your package, and you're getting a package. You think, wow, look at this, but you don't associate all the shit on it. Now, I know this to be true because my friend, fucking Rappa Lunge, he works at the Detroit Health Department, he told me that he sampled one of these things I sent him that I got from Temu. He said, Norm, you don't even want to know what was on that thing you bought, that fucking egg vibrator. You don't even want to know what was on it. And I said, what was on it? He said, I found vaginal juices. I found perspiration. I found fecal matter. I found hair, traces of shit, traces of urine. Like somebody used the egg vibrator before they sent it to me, and I had him test it, and that's coming from Temu, which is in China, and that's what you get when you get anything from fucking China. And he said that probably somebody was using the egg vibrator. Now, I bought the egg vibrator for a friend of mine, and she was constantly in class. She was always in front of the students. So she said she couldn't get out. She wasn't getting a lot of sex. She couldn't get out the homework, the buying supplies, the hours she put into school. And I said to her, why don't you use an egg vibrator when you're standing in front of the class? It goes in your cunt. It's like an egg, only smaller, and goes in your cunt, has a remote control, the wire that runs out of your pocket or clips onto the inside of your pocket, and you can get yourself off while you're in fucking class, and you'll have orgasm on top of orgasm while you're in fucking class, and you can get yourself off. And she liked that idea very, very much. That's what I gave it to her, and I gave it to her when I bought that. And that's what Rapa Lunch Sedge comes from, Temu. So I don't buy the rubber balloons anymore from Temu. I buy the rubber balloons now locally from a balloon place that's where I live. There's hardly anything where I live. There's a mom and pop store. I go there all the time. I had a near fuck with her daughter. She was just incredible, man. I'd go into that story a little while inside the store while her mom and dad were away on vacation. The girl was minding the store. Well, I minded her store with my 15.5 pounds of fucking dick. And I didn't quite go that far, though, and I think about it often. You ever have something like that happen? So I buy the balloons locally from a guy who says they're American-made balloons and they're rubber. And you have to be careful because at 10,000 feet, a rubber balloon will pop because of the atmospheric pressure. It's the same thing like if you're at 10,000 feet and you're in an airplane. I know this because I have a pilot license. You have to have oxygen then because the air gets, you know, the air gets much thinner up there and you need oxygen. So at 10,000 feet, a cheaply made rubber balloon will explode. Well, it'll explode with my cum attached to it. My cum is a passenger, the cargo, and I don't want that. I don't want my cum going nowhere. I want my efforts to be rewarded. I want to seed the planet as much as I can with my cum. Now, how does this work? You're going to say, how does it work? You're saying, Norm, I think I get what you're saying. You buy American-made rubber balloons. You buy helium from a gas company locally, the helium in the balloons, and then you buy Dixie cups, and you got saran wrap, and you got green rubber bands, and you got your cum into these Dixie cups. Now, I can't fill a Dixie cup up. Don't think that for a minute. I'm not going to even pretend to say that or fib, and in a way would I fib in these recordings. But I do draw a line on it where I can hit the max capacity of my load, and every time I hit that line, I feel some real sense of gratitude. I feel some kind of gratefulness to myself. I think, well, I am glad to be here after all. You know, I can hit that line every goddamn time. It's incredible. It's a sense of satisfaction. Like I pulled something off. Like you own your own company and you make $43 a year and you really feel a sense of satisfaction. You think, wow, I've really done something. Best selling these fucking popsicles on eBay with a bunch of glitter on it and shit like that. And I made $41 and it cost me $39 in supplies. But that's what I do with the fucking, with the cum in the cups. So I have the cups. I have the rubber bands. I have the fucking helium. I have the balloons. So this year, I took a balloon. I did a trial balloon, and I inflated the balloon. Now, once the balloon's inflated, I put on the string assembly that I've made up in advance. It's just three strings. It attaches to the Dixie cup, and I just put tape, transparent tape, like I was going to say Scotch tape, but that's a brand name. You can buy any tape you want. And I put transparent tape on the balloon on the three strings, and the three strings are connected to the paper cup. That the paper cup has my frozen cum in with a green rubber band and a saran wrap on top. Now, written onto the side of the cup, it says this: please drink, please pour into vagina. That's all it says, and then it has my email address. I can't tell you the satisfaction I get. Of all the shit I've done in my life, of all the things I've been involved with, of all the wrongdoings, the good doings, of all the fucking sideways stuff that couldn't really explain, the left side, the right side, of all the things I've done, this is like the most rewarding thing I've done. It's like I'm working for the Jerry Lewis Muscular Dystrophy Telethon. I think they used to hold in the 60s or some shit like that, or 70s or whatever it was. I get the same satisfaction out of this. Once the balloon is ready, and I sent out a trial balloon, once the balloon is inflated, once the balloon has the basket, like a basket on a hot air balloon that people would stand in, but it's a Dixie cup. Once the Dixie cup, I verify that the cum is in there and the saran wraps over the top and the rubber bands there and the three guidelines that connecting the cup to the balloon, they're all intact. Once it's there, I start to play songs and shit. Like one, it's going to sound silly. Bette Midler sang a song, Wind Beneath My Wings. You are the wind beneath my wings. You're my hero. You're everything I wish I could be. The wind beneath my wings and all. I let that song go. I project it as I let the balloon go. Now, the beauty of the balloon is I study the weather. I study the fucking trade winds and all that. I study the weather, the jet stream, all kinds of stuff like that, to see where my balloons are likely going to go. I want all my balloons to head to Europe. I want them all heading that way. Europe and other things like that. I want them. They can't sample Norm Augustinus's fine cum. And it is fine cum. If you were there, if I was in your presence right now, I'd blow my load in your eye and you'd see it was fucking fine cum. I'd blow it in your sister's eye, but not before I crammed her up the rear and blew it in her anus and filled up her back pocket, her front pocket, her little Joey pocket. I'd blow it in there, but not before I did it all there. It's a fine cum. And then when I'm ready to go, I let the balloon go. I play Bette Midler's song, You Are the Wind. And I'm oftentimes just wearing a Superman cape. My dong is out. I got nothing on my feet. I made these shoes once out of tires a long time ago. I learned how to do it when I was in Vietnam. I made them out of tires, and you should see these things. I wear tire shoes. It's just a bottom of a tire and the tread, that it's, and I've got a string on it. I wear that, my Superman cape, and my fucking balloon. Got my balloon in my hand. I'm playing Wind Beneath My Wings with Bette Midler, and I let it go. Now, why would I let it go? Why would I do that? Because no one else on the planet does it. No one else understands this. No one knows the repercussions. No one knows the hole that I'm filling. The void is now no longer a void because, say, some bitch is out there. Let's just say this like this. There's a bitch. She's in Europe somewhere. I don't know where she is. She's in Europe. She's in her backyard. She's tending to her clothesline. She's tending to the clothesline. She's adjusting her roses or pruning her roses. She's in the back. She's digging a hole. I don't know what to put in there. Some dog shit or something like that. She's burying her dog's dog shit. She's in the backyard in a mundacity, the daily routine of life, routine of life, just is grinding away at her, crushing away at her. And while she's putting up her fucking underwear, stained panties on the fucking clothesline, she happens to glance up, and what does she see? She sees a tattered balloon, motherfucker, a tattered balloon wobbly coming back to Earth. It's gone thousands of fucking miles through all kinds of storms at 10 or 12,000 feet with its helium. The helium has now found its way out. It's now evaporated. It's gone through the porosity of the balloon, the pores of the balloon. It's found its way out. It's now calming down, and it's out of gas, and she sees it. It's like, think about the metaphor here. It's like I've blown my load and I'm exhausted and I need to come back to Earth, come back to reality. The fantasy of me fucking me in my slut, that's over. But now I'm coming back to Earth because my load's blown and now she's ghastly. Now she's ugly to me. Now I'd like to get her out of here. I'd like to, whatever you want to do, the Louisville Slugger, get her out of that fucking place. It's the same thing with a balloon. It's like I've blown my load, I'm exhausted, and here comes the load. It's the traces of it is still there. Here comes my load, freshly ejaculated out my fucking fuck stick. Here it comes, and she looks up, and what does she say? She says, hallelujah, man. She says, amen, man. She says shit like that. For the love of God, man, and she puts her hands in the air, and she's heard about this fucking free package, this thing that comes to people's homes that's never come to her home, not even once, like Santa Claus missed your fucking house, and she's heard about it, and one day it happens, Santa comes to your house, or Norm Augustinus's fucking balloon with a Dixie cup filled with cum slowly descends and comes into your yard. What does she do then? There's the baby. She's sitting on the fucking grass on some blanket. There's her dirty panties that she washed trying to get the stains out. She can't get them out. Nobody could ever get them out. And they're hanging on the clothesline. And she sees that fucking balloon, man. And she just rejoices and does a dance like she's trying to create rain, like some Indian or some shit like that. Native American Indian. An American Indian. She says something like that, man. And here it comes. She catches the balloon gently. And she looks at the cup, and it's everything she thought it would be. It's everything she thought that she had heard happen to some lucky people. And what does it say on the side of the cup? The Dixie cup that's wax-coated for weatherized purposes and keeps the cum fresh, and so does the damn actual, you know, saran wrap on top of the green rubber band. And because it was in a fucking cooler with dry ice, it was minus 37 degrees, and it's still cold, still almost frozen, but in a more, like a more snotty egg-like way. And there it is. And it says, she picks a cup up. She looks at it. She reads it. She says, please drink. Please pour into vagina. What do you think she does, man? Her whole day's changed. Maybe her whole month. Maybe the course of depression she was on is ending, is lifting. Hallelujah. I'm not depressed anymore. I don't have fucking Lyme disease anymore. I don't have any of that shit anymore. Now I feel whole again. Why? Because she's got Norm Augustine's cum. And what does she do? She pulls up her house dress. She, of course, doesn't have any panties on. She pulls her house dress back, lays down near her kid, and she pours my cum into her crack, into her snatch, into her big stretched out goddamn beaver. That's what happens to the beaver. The rigors of life, the up and down, the big dicks, the small dicks, the little dicks, the fucking dildos, the goddamn hot dogs, it's all fucked up her cunt. And that's the result of it, which happens to every woman. That's it now. That's the meaty mess you have to deal with. And she tries to move all that meat around, man, the three-hole area up there. She's adjusting her fucking labia and shit around her goddamn urethra, around her clitoris, around her cunt hole, and moving her asshole aside. She's got to get my cum into her goddamn big stretched out hole, and that's what she does. I don't know what it sounds like, but I imagine it sounds like this every time I fantasize about it. That's the cunt making drinking sounds, because for the first time in that cunt's life, it's got actual real cum associated with a real goddamn man, Norm Augustinus, an adventurer, a thinker, an original idea. It's finally come into contact with cum. I mean, look at the pussy. It's millions of years old, man. It's evolved and evolved and evolved. It's the same cunt all the time. And what is the cunt really looking for? It's looking for quality fucking ingredients. And it finally found it. Her life changes. Most Ricky Tick, man. Her life changes. The cum's in there. Maybe she has a baby. I've had women send me back pictures on that email and say, Norm, this is your baby. This is your baby. Your baby's name is Lifu. It's Lifu. We live in Finland. It's Lifu, and our last name is Omar. Lifu Omar, and look at your baby. I didn't tell my husband that, but that's a good-looking baby, and I want to thank you. Your cum was virile, strong, fine ingredients, the qualityest strain I've ever come up to. It traveled fucking 9,000 miles and in my cunt. And there it is. Real cum in my gash. I love it. Or I get the other one that says, Norm, it came down from the air, and I immediately put the Dixie cup to my fucking cocksucker's lips, my blower's mouth with all the blower's lines around the sides of my mouth from blowing all that cock. And I drank that cum down, and wow, that's the best cum I ever drank. It's like a fucking bottle of wine from the Titanic, a bottle of champagne from the Titanic. Well, they go for $100,000. It's like that. I was drinking that, man. The best cum I ever had. And she said, I slowly tore the cup. I was peeling it down, making it smaller, like something you do to a toothpaste tube, so I could lick out the fucking insides of the cup and get every goddamn drop. And then she said, in this email, I also ate some of the cup, man. That's why I do it. That's why I send out hundreds of balloons every year, once a year, with my cum in a Dixie cup attached to a helium balloon. You are the wind beneath my wings. If I ever knew my hero. Look up the song, fuckstick. Maybe make it move you emotionally. Maybe you'll start to feel something. First time in 60 fucking years. Look it up, man. And she's got the cum. It's dribbling down her throat, man. Maybe she's not in her backyard. Maybe she's out in the field walking somewhere, thinking of killing herself. She's out in the field, she's got a fucking Glock in her hand, and she's going to take herself out. And just as she's ready to pull a trigger with a Glock, my balloon comes down right next to her. It's a fucking glass full of cum. It's a Dixie cup full of cum. And it's not an ordinary, it's Norm Augustinus's cum, man. It's my cum, man. It's only one comes to a customer. It's my strain of cum. Nobody else has it, man. It's so moving, I may fucking start to pump off right now. It's that moving. She's out in the field doing that. She's out somewhere, I don't know how long, maybe she's out wherever she is. She's out picking berries. She's out doing strawberries. She's out picking apples. She's out in the parking lot somewhere. She just bought a box of fucking diapers because at a certain point, if a woman's had a kid, they all wear diapers. I mean, think of that. thing you're trying to turn into sexy wears a diaper. She's not wearing a diaper for urine and her fucking wall fell out or bottom fell out or something. Something falls out. She's fucking wearing something for a tampon or rags or period. She's not wearing that. She's wearing a goddamn diaper because she's got irritable bowel syndrome. 96% of women are shitting all the time. You wonder why they're unhappy? Why they're wearing a fucking cosmetic makeup, a clown suit when they go out, a fucking mask like she's going into the big top? Because they're so goddamn unhappy. I'm talking about cosmetics. Wow. Ever she could be. Maybe she's in her convertible. She's driving on the road. She feels empty. She feels hollowed out. She's got a tube of cyanide. She's going to take herself out. And there's my balloon lands right on her front seat. Please drink. Please pour into vagina. It's just as fresh as the day it left my fucking gonads. I do it every year, man. I do it every year because I give back. Because I believe in this country and this world. I believe in the daily rigors, the monotonous of daily existence. I do it every fucking day, just like you. Maybe you're going to get a balloon in your backyard if you're a bitch. Or maybe you're a dude, maybe you're a fruit, you want a cup of my cum. Maybe it's coming your way. Maybe the jet stream's going to have the exact latitude and longitude. It's going to land in your backyard while you're in the backyard with your fucking pocket pussy or truck driver, something like that. You got your pocket pussy on, you're pumping off, and there it is. There's the relief. There's the break. There's the miracle you've been waiting for.
Hang on, will ya?
And it is a miracle, isn't it? If I'm been created by a creator, it's a miracle. Here it comes your way. I'm a one of a kind, a one of. Drink it down, boy. Drink it down, bitch. Shake it in your cunt. Pour it in your shithole, whore. Here it comes. That's the air going in the balloon. Here comes another one. And another one. That's the air going to the goddamn balloon and cum, wind and fucking airstream and jet stream and jism and all the proteins and carbs I gotta eat to make it, motherfucker.
You've been listening to the one and only.
My dick is enormous. There is no escape.
We meet at the big clock. In cyberspace, it's dark out there in cyberspace. It's scary out there in cyberspace. You're out there in cyberspace. You're frozen with fear. You don't know what to do. You're looking up. You're looking down. You're looking to the right. You're looking to the left. It's windy out. You don't know what to do. You're frozen. Till eventually and quite abruptly, you hear this distant chiming clock in the background. And you follow the chiming clock until it gets louder and louder and louder. Eventually bringing you upon this brightly illuminated place in cyberspace. There are thousands of people there. They're holding hands. They're smiling. They've been waiting for you. There's that thing that brought you to this place in the first place. It's a tower. 100-150 feet tall. Brown bricks. Tan mortar. Way at the top of this tower is a glass bezel. It's a clock. It's backlit. And above that is this chimey bell-like thing that brought you to this place in the first place. And you know why you're at this place in the first place. You're here to clear out your pains, your frustrations, your aches, your woes, your disappointments, your hurts. The person that died on you, the ramen noodles you're sick of eating, the credit cards you can't pay off, the apartment you can't pay for, the house you think you'll maybe never own, the bitch who left you, the guy who left you. You're here to clear all those pains and frustrations out. And how do we do that? Well, the moment you heard my voice, you were instantly and automatically filled up with this highly absorbent orange-colored solution. It's been inside your body sloshing about this entire recording. And now, at the end of this recording, we lie you gently down, we pop the corks in your toes, and all of that highly absorbent orange-colored solution comes gushing out of your body. Look at it. It's forming a small mini lake alongside you. It's orange colored. It's rusty. It stinks. It's toxic. We shake your feet, getting out the last drops of highly absorbent orange colored solution and replace the corks on your toes. You can't believe how good you feel. You feel like you can go on another second, another minute, another day, another hour, another year, maybe infinitely. It doesn't matter that a friend of yours is making $250,000 a year and lives in $1 million house. It doesn't matter that another friend of yours has got the best looking bitch you've ever seen, or another friend of yours has the best looking dude you've ever seen. None of that shit matters. All that matters is how good you feel right now. You know you can feel this good anytime you want to. Anytime you're in duress, anytime you feel like you can't go on another second, all you gotta do is think of the big chiming clock in cyberspace, where you meet your pal, your friend, Norm Augustinus. And instantly, and almost automatically, you'll feel refreshed and clear. You know the best part of this recording, the most important part of this recording, at least to me, is that for 1 hour, we were friends. Friend, I enjoyed myself. I hope you did too. Write me, normaugustinus@gmail.com.
Tune in again for another exciting episode from the amazing mind of Norm Augustinus.
Dear Robin, how are you? I had some spare time, so I thought I would send you an actual typed letter. I found the typewriter inside the ceramic water tank of an old toilet. I figure someone shit, and then jammed the typewriter into the toilet tank. When I found the toilet, it had been torn off the bathroom floor of an abandoned house. The toilet tank was lying on its side on a broken-down staircase leading to a dark basement. Robin, last week I went fly fishing on the Ausable River in Grayling, Michigan. While I was walking along the edge of the river, I stumbled across a pair of old rubber fishing waders. They were partially submerged in mud. When I freed the waders from the weeds and mud, I looked inside the torso area of the fishing waders. Robin, someone had jammed a shitload of dirty women's panties inside the fishing waders. Most of the soiled cum panties had huge round holes bored into the cotton ventilated panels. The outside diameter of the holes looked like they had been singed by a flame. I guess that was where the cock bored its way into the pussy. Some of the elastic waistbands were torn clean off the panties. Also in the fishing waders was a wooden tobacco pipe and an old rotting 1985 Playboy magazine that featured a buck-naked Mary Ellen from the hit TV show The Waltons. Robin, Mary Ellen had a very hairy pussy. I guess a fly fisherman came to the river long ago, and he fucked, and he came, and he thumbed through his Playboy magazine, and he smoked his pipe, too. I took my clothes off and pulled on a couple of pairs of the panties that had been crammed into the rubber fishing waders, and I filled his old tobacco pipe with Pinconning Paralyzer marijuana. I think the person that shoved his cock through the crotch of the panties had about the same size diameter cock that I do. I gotta go. It's been great catching up with you. Write me back when you can. You know how much I enjoy getting your letters. Love, Norman. P.S. I bumped into your big-titted little sister at the car show put on every year in downtown Utica. Your big-titted little sister was walking around looking at the old cars just like I was. When your big-titted little sister saw me, she climbed inside the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile that was being showcased at the event. The Wienermobile looks like a giant hot dog in a bun. Robin, the Wienermobile has been around since 1936, and it's drivable, too. When your big-titted little sister wiggled her way into the Wienermobile, she took off her shirt, brassiere, pants, and panties, and she pulled her knees back to her ears. When I went into the Wienermobile, your big-titted little sister's Lux pussy was pointed right at me. So I ate out your big-titted little sister, and I gave her a rim job, too. When I was done rimming and eating, your big-titted little sister blew me, and then we 69'd one another.
My daughter and I can see you eating that woman out through the window. Open the Wiener mobile door so that you can eat me and my kid out too. She's tight. Real tight.
Attention shoppers, this is Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. Ladies, right now at the counter, I've got such a deal for you. Take a look at one of our giant store monitors closest to where you're standing in the store. Recognize that? Girls, it's the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. Since 1936, it's been a beloved all-American favorite. You may have seen it make an appearance in an Easter or Thanksgiving Day parade. But here's something truly exciting to digest. The Oscar Mayer Wienermobile you're looking at right now on the monitor is actually a photograph of a look-alike Wienermobile that is set up in our bedroom display on the third floor. It's true, it's not the real Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. It's something much better. Honey, are you tired of trying to constantly come up with new ways to make your pussy look exciting? Are you sick and tired of rubbing your cunt down with vaginal shrinking cream in an effort to make your box younger and tighter? Well, now you can forget about all that nonsense. For only $99.95, you can buy an inflatable Oscar Mayer Wienermobile. The Wienermobile comes equipped with an inflatable door, and the Wienermobile has just enough room inside so that two adults can fuck inside the Wienermobile comfortably. Let me explain. When your husband or lover sees the giant Wienermobile set up in your bedroom, he'll think of his cock. And because he's thinking of his cock, he'll pop a powerful rod. When you see the jumbo wiener in your bedroom, you'll think of dick. And your contract will unfurl, and you'll get wet like never before. He wants pussy, and you want cock. Climb inside the Wienermobile and get it on, whore. Wherever you inflate the Wienermobile, I guarantee you'll take unending amounts of wide and long inches. I've only got 10 to sell. Come on up to the counter right now and get yours. Don't worry about vaginal juices and cum cleanup. It's made of vinyl. Simply wipe it down with a paper towel or a sponge. You're done fucking, simply let the air out of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and put it back into the handled cardboard box that comes with it at no extra charge. On a side note, my assistant Mandy Phelps has just shit onto a sewer sanitation worker that was replacing a manhole cover at the front of our store. The sanitation worker had climbed down and into the sewer. While the sanitation worker worked, Miss Phelps stood above him alongside the coverless open manhole. Miss Phelps couldn't take her eyes off the giant bulge in the sanitation worker's work pants brought on by a sudden erection that the worker had popped while performing his duties. It was at that point that my assistant's anus suddenly gave way. And she shit all over the sanitation worker. Mandy always wears miniskirts and no panties. Miss Phelps is extremely horny.
I'm so horny. I use liquid nitrogen to instantly freeze my shit logs so that I can fuck them when I can't get a hold of real dick. Liquid nitrogen is minus 350 degrees Fahrenheit. If I add up all the inches my cunt has been fed since I was 14, it spans two full revolutions around the earth. If I'm traveling by car and I start to tremble from a lack of meat between my legs, I'll pull into whatever driveway I come across. And I'll use my lockpick set to break into some bitch's house and I'll find her smelly dildo and I'll fuck it until the batteries and springs fall out. I need 10 inches.
And she has irritable bowel syndrome.
I can't stop shitting. I shit into my crotchless panties and on my car seat on the drive into work. I shit down each of my pant legs while I was ordering a bagel at the bakery. I shit while I was talking to my father while I visited him in the nut house. I shit while the boy that delivers my groceries was fingering my asshole. 2 days ago, I shit on the bathroom marble floor as I was trying to get into the bathtub. Someone in the store, please come up here and pour quick dry cement into my shithole. Please help me.
Is there anyone in the store that could spare a wet wipe or two to help my assistant clean up this mess? This has been Baloney Pony, your rare finds and exotic treasure store manager. That is all.
Fuck. 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 Fuck.
Women are constipated 3 times more than men.
Thank you.
when you're walking down the halls and your balls hit the walls, it's a rupture.